In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'd like to announce that we as a parish are going on a pilgrimage. And it begins, I think, in 3 weeks. And it is a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And to participate in the divine and sacred events of the Passion, the death, the resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And here we are, beginning to prepare, as it were, our minds with the Holy Gospels. I mentioned this question, bring this question up, that we are going on a pilgrimage because in 1980, Monsignor Skaksenia and I were blessed to go on pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And, of course, we went to the tomb of our Savior and to the tomb of the Mother of God and to Mount Tabor and so on, all of the sacred holy places. And it was an amazing and wonderful experience. However, when we came back and Great Lent began, and then when the Holy Week began for us as a parish, I realized that the significance of the pilgrimage was in reality manifested through the divine services. And although we may not be able to go in the flesh at this point on pilgrimage to the holy places, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are brought to those holy places. And I remember during the divine services, and particularly when we were on Holy Friday, when we were processing the Plasha Nitsa around the church. And I think there were 10 or 12 of us at that time. And I knew that we were in the Holy Land. I knew that what we were doing was exactly what the Holy Apostles and their followers had done in preparing and entering into the burial of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I say this because we have an opportunity to participate in these divine events that change our minds and our hearts and nourish our souls. This is this is a great opportunity with the Holy Week and with the Great Lent, rather, and then Holy Week. And here we are preparing, as it were. Last week, we celebrated all the new martyrs of Russia. And in a sense, it obscured the gospel of Zacchaeus because the new martyrs of Russia are so profoundly important for our church and for all of us, and I think even for the whole Christian world. And so we didn't remember Zacchaeus. I just want to, bring him into focus here a little bit. And so basically we have this story of this Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. And the Savior was coming through where he was, and he wanted to see our Lord. And it says in the Gospel he was very short. The crowd was around him, he was unable to see. And he climbed a sycamore tree. And there, from the branches of the sycamore tree, he was above the crowd, and he could look down and see our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. There must be some meaning in climbing the sycamore tree. That's not just that he, in fact, climbed a tree, but there must be a spiritual meaning that he exerted effort. And he felt within himself this desire to see the Christ, and he acted on it. And this little man climbed the tree, which was took great effort. And but nevertheless, from the height of the tree, he was able to have this clear vision in the flesh of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, our Savior saw him and saw in him great zeal. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And so he came down and received the Savior joyfully. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest of the man who is a sinner. And this is amazing, actually. And so the gospel of Zacchaeus and the gospel for today both focus on tax collectors. And so Zacchaeus, seeing the Lord and having the Savior accept his invitation into his heart, had an illumination. And he said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. What a beautiful thing. You see, obviously, the image of repentance. And the Savior responded, today salvation has come to this house. And because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Tax collectors are actually in a very complicated position. They work for the Roman government. And so, obviously, there was all this tension between the Romans and the Jews. And so this in itself, never mind that he was a tax collector, created a suspicion that he was not, he was working for this sort of the pagan and state. But in addition to which, obviously, being a tax collector at that time had all kinds of temptations associated with it. And that is that you might be able to require a little more than was required and put it in your pocket. So it's just this constant temptation. And it seems that Zacchaeus recognized this. And he is repenting of perhaps defrauding people with false accusation. And so his solution is to restore this four times over. And so today, we have the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And it says, and also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. So here it is, our Savior is identifying. He has a particular, according to the gospel, he has a particular group of people to whom he's speaking. Those who trust in themselves that they are righteous and despise others. And two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And so here we hear, I think, we can hear this as we clear it. This is a man who trusts in himself and clearly despises others. And standing afar off, there was the tax collector, who not so much who would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Savior says, "I tell you that this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." So we have this this contrast between the Pharisee. The Pharisees were meticulous in keeping the law. And clearly, and we see in the Savior's teaching here that they used it not so much to unite themselves to God, not to unite themselves to God, but to separate themselves from other people. The extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers, and so on. And then the tax collector, which is fascinating, the tax collector. Here he is, perhaps sneaking into the church or into the synagogue or the temple and hiding almost in the back, somehow knowing in his heart and his mind the complications of his life and the sinfulness perhaps of his life. And here he is, and knowing that he's despised, and yet comes to the place where he probably experiences this spite in more than other places. And so he is hiding, as it were, somewhere in the back or in the corners, and just beating his breast. God be merciful to me, sin. So, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, as we begin, as we prepare, so we're preparing for our pilgrimage, and it's any time we go on a very important trip, as it were, there's a certain amount of excitement in preparing, right? We have to carefully choose the things we're going to bring and start to eliminate the things that we have too many of and so on. And this is excitement and anticipation. May our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ give us excitement and anticipation as we face this pilgrimage. I have heard many times from people new to the Orthodox faith who, after keeping their first fast, exclaim, "I just can't believe how happy and peaceful I was during the Holy Lent." And it's true, because we are encumbered with passions, absolutely, and it's unavoidable. Perhaps even more so than any other time. We have so many things that are distracting us, and so many images that come at us that are impure, and so many sounds that we hear, and we are bound up in so many different ways, and economically, how difficult it is for simple people just simply to feed their and house their family, and all of these difficulties. And they weigh us down. And then, of course, the entertainments of the television and all the things that come through it, which are against, really, an affront to the mind of Christ, to our Lord. And also, which darken our own hearts and minds. And here we are, in this space, we're encumbered. And we may not be tax collectors, but we are encumbered. And we need to repent. This is what we have to prepare to do. We need to repent. We need to examine ourselves. We need to look at ourselves and consider how it is that we might be set free. How can we possibly be set free? And the answer, of course, is through the divine services and the disciplines of our Holy Church. And it's so easy to be an Orthodox Christian, you know, and to love the divine service, come to church on Sunday and love the services and the fellowship that we have, which is a very beautiful thing. And yet, not really engaged in the efforts that we must engage to be sanctified. And not really willing to present ourselves. And is it possible that we are like that Pharisee? Is it possible that we look at other people with disdain? And that in our hearts and minds, we've really flashes of thoughts of condemnation of others. Which is fascinating, because here's a man who, it says, fasted twice a week, continuously, and gave tithes of all that he possessed. So he's the one who's pious, and yet in his piety, he's corrupted by his accusations and his pride. And so here we are. We need to begin to turn our hearts and minds to this great Holy Lent. And may we do that together. And may we not just simply attend the divine services, saying our prayers. How important it is to say our prayers. Perhaps turning off the television for 50 days. Just not turning it on. And perhaps not listening to secular things. But really giving our hearts and minds and our attention to sacred reading and to prayer and to caring for others and showing our love. And in the midst of all of this, realizing that our offering is always inadequate. And I think this is one of the beauties of the tax collector. How else can one be saved except by the love and the mercies of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, whose mercies and love will be revealed and made manifest through his passion, his death, and his resurrection. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.